In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fourth day of the blessed month of El-Nesi, which is the little month. There are 6 days in this month. In 2 days, God willing, on Tuesday would be the Feast of the Nehruz, or the Coptic New Year. Congratulations to all of you for this blessed occasion. And as we said last week, the church in these last few weeks likes to remind us of the end of time, or the second coming. And yani, the things that we spoke of last week, or the gospel we read last week, sounds very similar to this. However, we can find in this gospel, it says that what will the sign of the of your coming and the end of age? So, you know, if you look at this, the church is telling us, you know, that this is the end of time. It wants to focus our attention on the goal in which we're trying to get to. All of us, when it comes to the new year, whether it be the Coptic or the, you know, the calendar new year, we always, you know, take a step back retrospectively, look at, you know, how my life was this year, and where I'm going. So I'd like to speak with today about navigating our life, you know, just taking a step back and looking at our life, where we are and where we and how we got here, and if we need to change anything. So just to, you know, give a couple of kida quick points of maybe of what can help us in navigating through our life here. The first is preparing for our, you know, before we go on any journey, there's some kind of preparation. And typically, if you look, you know, at any navigation system, you enter one address into it and you go there. You can't enter multiple addresses at the same time and then go to all of them, but you only have one destination. So the church wants to, you know, teach us, and our Lord Jesus Christ also wants to teach us, that when we set our destination, we should only set one goal and where we should go. Sometimes we have the goal of, you know, yes, I want to go to heaven, but on the way, I want to stop by, you know, riches, I want to stop by success, I want to stop by popularity. You know, we want to stop by other things, but we don't have that final goal before us. Our Lord Jesus Christ said about this, he said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon," which is money. So he says, yani, you will either hate the one and love the other. So it doesn't say you can, you know, love both of them, or both, you can go both ways. But he says, you know, you will hate the one and love the other. So we have to choose which destination are we going to. And St. Paul also echoed the same thing when he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, "For what fellowship has light with darkness and righteousness with lawlessness?" So you can't mix the two together. So we have to have the one destination as to where we're going. And as we go through this journey of life and as we navigate through this life, we have, you know, all of us experience times of success and times of failure. Times of feeling, you know, spiritually renewed, and times when we feel spiritually weak. And actually, yani, we can learn from both of these, both the weaknesses and the successes. But we shouldn't expect, some people, when they, you know, they come to church on a regular basis, they attend all the services, and they, you know, there might be even servants, they think that because I do these things, God will bless my life and I won't have any difficulties. But on the contrary, you know, what makes us different from anybody else in the world? All of us, you know, suffer, all of us have pain, all of us might have a certain degree of success. But what differs us from everybody else is, yani, not how we look at the immediate life, but the hope that we have in the next life. So what differs me from my neighbor maybe outside is that, yes, yani, we all go through the same things in life and tribulations, but ultimately, yani, we look for the resurrection of the dead. We look for, you know, the eternal life in heaven. And we have the hope that God will help us and take us, you know, there. But when we look at the success, the early church also experienced, you know, success. in their early days. It says about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he told the apostles, he commanded them the Great Commission, the end of Matthew chapter 28. He told them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he tells them, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of ages. So he's saying to them, the authority that I received, that I have as God, I give to you, and with this authority, I want you to go into all nations. So the apostles took that, and they went and preached. And we hear many, you know, stories of success in the book of Acts, how, you know, St. Peter was in prison, and the prison doors were open. The apostles, you know, they were captured, and again, they were thrown in prison, and by miraculously, the prison doors were open, and they came out. We see St. Paul and St. Peter, whose handkerchief and apron and shadow healed those who were sick. So with great power and great success, the church, grew in these early days. And even now, there's success, you know, that each of us have individually and also as a church as a whole. So yes, we have successes in our life, and God told us he would be with us even to the end of age. And also, if we look at the story of Hananiah and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, you know, these couple came wanting, you know, to kind of cheat the Holy Spirit. And with great power, God judged them, and they, you know, fell down dead at the feet of the disciples. So God showed his might and his glory through the disciples and the apostles. But not only was there success, but there's also, you know, a weakness as well. We hear about St. Paul, all the things that he went through. And mind you, our Lord Jesus Christ told us, in this world you will have tribulation. So we should expect some tribulation. And if we think about it, if we look at the life of St. Paul, what he went through, he says in 2 Corinthians, he kind of describes his life. And maybe we can try to put ourselves in his shoes and think about it. If this was our life, and we were writing our biographies, and this was our, you know, biography, what would we feel about it? He says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water. Perils are kind of like troubles. And perils of robbers, and perils of my own countrymen. So those of my own countrymen gave me trouble. And perils of the Gentiles, or the non-believers, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and wilderness and toil, and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and in nakedness. I read this all in just a few seconds. But imagine if this was your life, and you were whipped and beaten 5 times minus one. You were shipwrecked, 3 times. You were in nakedness often, you know, in perils often. And we might go through like one, you know, small little tribulation, and we tell God, we're like, you know, God, why, Lord, do you permit this? You know, all this is happening to me, but I'm still your faithful servant. But St. Paul went through all of these tribulations, but he never wavered. You know, the disciples would be thrown in prison and warned not to come and preach. And as soon as they left the prison, they would go back and preach again. and St. Paul, although he was, you know, arguably, you know, one of the, if not the best apostle and the preacher to all of the Gentiles, tribulation never stopped him from pursuing a higher and higher spiritual level and a deeper relationship with God, nor did it prevent him from service. You know, some of us might say, okay, I serve the church, but, you know, somebody told me, you know, a bad word that bothered me, so I'm not going to serve anymore. St. Paul went through all these things, but he didn't waver from his commitment to serve and his love for God and to spreading Christianity. And it came to a point where St. Paul had a problem. And he said, God, you know, I have this difficulty, this ailment of mine. Some scholars believe he had a problem with his eye. I want you, Lord, to please help me and heal my eye so I can serve you better. But you know, God told him, I'm not going to heal it. And he asked him 3 times, and he wasn't healed. But the Lord respond to him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So all that was, you know, of value to St. Paul was that his grace, that God's grace was with him. He asked three times, and that's it. Imagine, kid, if we want something from God, when we say we're only going to ask three times. We can sit here and ask things for years from God and not get weird. He asked three times, and then when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, he took that and said, okay. So yes, we all have success. Yes, we all have, you know, weaknesses. And also, even some of us fail. You might say, if you look at the example of St. Peter, who was, you know, one of the leaders of the disciples, we know that he betrayed the Lord, and God restored him again and restored his apostleship. But even after that, he began to preach, and it came to a point where, as St. Paul describes to us in Galatians chapter 2, it says, St. Paul says of the following, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, who was one of the apostles and a believer, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." So St. Peter, he would sit and eat with the Gentiles and, you know, preach to them. But when, you know, some of the Jews came from St. James and they were with St. Peter, he wouldn't sit with them. So he was like a hypocrite. In front of, you know, the believers, you know, I would sit only with the believers. But when they weren't there, I would go to the non-believers. So St. Paul rebuked him, and he said, it says that he rebuked him face to face. So this is, you know, a weakness that St. Peter had even after God restored his apostleship. So all of us, yani, we have the sacrament of repentance and confession, but oftentimes we go back and we commit the sin again. But God has given us this hope that even, yani, when we sin and do wrong, he can restore us again. And so when we all go through difficulties, we all go through some parts of success, and we all sin, we all have these failures in our life. So we shouldn't be surprised that in this life, we will go through all of these three things, and we should expect them. So we shouldn't grow weary, you know, when we come through, you know, trial sometimes. Also, we can learn that good navigators learn from their past experiences. People who navigate good learn from their past experiences. It's kind of like, we can learn two things from our past experiences. We can learn the good things, the things of success, and we can also learn from the points of failure in our life, in our past experiences. If we look at the success that we have, you know, had, what can we learn from this? We can see God's hand and how he granted us, you know, a blessing in this particular aspect in my life. It was something that I couldn't do by my own strength, and I prayed to God earnestly, and he answered my prayer and granted me success in this particular aspect of our life. So we can look and gain confidence and courage to stay the course. When we look back at our previous successes, it gives us courage and confidence that God is with us and he will be with us for the rest of our days. And oftentimes, you know, I know a lot of people can look back at their life, you know, and say, you know, I feel like I was more spiritually strong when I was younger. And sometimes, you know, God allows us to go through this. We feel his blessings and the sweetness of the life with God. And then as we grow old, this kind of grows cold. And God gives us this opportunity of feeling his sweetness, so we desire it more. And it's just like, you know, I don't know, you know, about you, but I have, you know, my 2-year-old son. If I give him a lollipop and it's, you know, time for dinner, no matter what I do, he's going to eat the lollipop. He's not going to eat the chicken or whatever it is we're having for dinner. So God does the same thing with us. He gives us something sweet so we can desire it and nothing else but him. It gives us kiddah the extra drive. I remember how sweet the life was with you, Lord. And he's always, you know, just like he was with the prodigal son, opening his hand for his return. Our Lord is also opening his hands for our return as well, to return and taste the sweetness that we once did. So we can learn from our previous successes. We can also learn from the failures that we experienced. And oftentimes, we learn the most from the failures that we go through. They teach the best lessons. It's just like riding a bike. You know, all of us who have, you know, trained our kids to ride bikes, they have all fallen and they all get bruised. But, you know, they get back on the bike and they try again. And they know, okay, last time I leaned to the right. Next time, let me this time, I'm going to lean to the left a little bit. And they fall. And then they get back and they say, okay, this is how I keep balance. So they learn, kida, from their past failures. We should kind of do the same. How? First is, you know, these experiences or these failures that we, you know, think back upon, we can learn two things from them. The first, it reveals to us our wrong assumptions. You know, when we assume wrong things. It's just like somebody going into a marriage relationship and they assume that a good marriage is based on the size of the diamond, is based on physical attraction, or is based on maybe some compatibility. We have the same interests. But those of us, Yani, who are married and know that marriage is much more than that. If it's not coupled with unconditional love, if it's not coupled with the commitment to forgive and forget, and the self-sacrificial, you know, life, then you know that your marriage won't be successful. And unfortunately, when we go into marriage having kida, yani, this idea that it's all based on, you know, the size of the diamond and physical attraction and things like that, we end up maybe being disappointed, even disillusioned, and might even end in divorce. So, yani, how we assume things are, or if we have wrong assumptions, it can, yani, affect the conclusion of these experiences. So we have to look back at our failures and correct any wrong assumptions that I have. One of them being, I come to church, I do this, then I'm not going to fall into, or I'm not going to be tried, I'm not going to have any difficulty in my life. Absolutely not. That's not the case. Another thing we can learn from our past failures is our effort. We can kind of test our effort. It's like a student who knows, you know, the subject of mathematics really well. And he goes and he doesn't study that well. And he usually does good, you know, gets A's on his exams, no problem. And he gets to this one course and this one teacher, you know, who's used to not studying well. So he doesn't study that well, goes in the exam and receives a failing grade. He thinks to himself, wow, what happened? I thought I was good in the subject of math and this and that. What's God trying to reveal to us here, or reveal to this student? Maybe your effort wasn't there. And you had maybe poor effort. So, yani, sometimes kida, God will allow us to go through difficult times and learn from these, that maybe, yani, I fell in this particular sin because my effort, my spiritual effort, wasn't all there. Yes, I pray, you know, in the morning, in the evening, and I read my Bible, but I do these kida just as routine matters. But when, yani, you pray with all of your heart, and you read from the scripture saying, God, what is it that you want me to learn today from your word? Talk to me. When I sit and have this kind of relationship with God, that's what he wants. He wants all of our effort, not part of our effort. So sometimes he allows us to fail so we can learn that our effort is not all there. And you know, my dad always told me something nice when I was going through school and I would be struggling. I'd tell him, you know, Dad, I'm scared that I'm not going to do well on this exam. He'd always tell me, you know, do your best and let God do the rest. Put forth the best effort that you have, and God will see that best effort and reward you and provide whatever else that you can't. So it's our part to put our best foot forward, our best effort, and God will continue and bless that effort that we do. So the next thing we can learn in this series of navigation, or in this navigating our life, is that good navigators usually learn from their other people's mistakes as well. It's one thing to learn from my mistakes, but it's another thing to learn from other people's mistakes. There's a Latin proverb that says, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others, a fool by his own. So it says that a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. Why? Because I can't experience everything in life, you know, by myself. I have to be able to see my brother, you know, and learn from what he's, you know, his mistakes were. Again, it's just like, you know, you see somebody, you know, who goes out and drinks and use alcohol and drugs, and you see the end of their life. You see that they're failing school. You see that in a, you know, they become addicted, that maybe they go into rehab, their physical, you know, appearance, you know, is distorted. You see all of these things. So we should learn from this and say, okay, this using these things leads to this, so let me stay away. Watching kida, you know, bad things on the internet. Use this leads to addiction bardu, and I realize that. For we should learn. And there are so many statistics out there about, you know, those who do these things and how it negatively affects their life. I don't need to tell you, I'm sure everybody knows. So we should learn from not only our experiences or our, you know, past, but also those of others. And even we should learn from our parents. And I want to tell the kids to use your parents as a source of, as like a valuable source, like an encyclopedia. They have went through things in life that maybe you have already went through. Yes, I know oftentimes we feel that our parents, you know, don't know anything, they're old-fashioned, but guess what? Our parents went through life just as we did, and they were young as once we were, and they experienced things and learned things. So whenever your parents kid want to tell you something, share an experience with you that they had, you know, open your ears and listen. It will only help you, believe me. So we shouldn't learn just from our mistakes, but also the mistakes of others. And finally, when we go on this path, navigating through this path of life, we need to remember two things, or we have to have two things, faith and fact. First, faith, in that we have a helper on the way on our trip. We're not on it by ourselves. Our Lord Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation. Okay, Lord, what else? He completed the verse and said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he says, I have overcome the world. So if you want to navigate through this life successfully, take me along. He's not going to force himself on you, but he's asking to take me along with you, and I'll help you navigate through this world. So we have somebody, you know, to rely on. We have somebody to put our yoke upon him. And he give us his yoke, saying that my yoke is light. Also, in the book of Philippians, St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Christ, you know, St. Paul, you were, you know, beaten, you know, 40 times minus one, five times, and you were shipwrecked and all these things. And he can still say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet he saw so many failures and so many hindrances in his ministry. But he never, you know, lost hope. He continued. The second thing is fact. We have to be real with ourselves. We can't go kid ourselves and say, yes, you know, as long as kid I'm coming to church, I'm attending here and everything, and I'm taking communion, and there's no kid, there's no other effort on your part. You know, we have to be real with ourselves. Even when we're in church, what are we praying in church? Are we thinking about what we're going to do afterwards? We're thinking about the game that we're going to play or the football game that we're going to watch. Yani, do we think, yani, are we here really praying and putting forth best effort, or are we here, kid, that, you know, just, you know, passers-by? We're here just standing, you know, looking, observing, and then we'll go on with our life. So we have to be really real with ourselves and our spiritual practices, and also in our weaknesses. You know, if I know that I have a problem, you know, hanging around with these people, and every time I hang around with these people, I end up gossiping and talking about people. We have to be aware of that. Be real with ourselves. If I know going to this particular place, I end up doing things, you know, that are bad. Or if I hang out with these people, I end up saying bad words that I feel rub off on me. Be honest with ourselves. And you know, and take a look and say, okay, these are the parts of my life where I need work, and I know that these particular factors are the ones that, you know, influence me negatively. So try to work on these, avoid these instances, or try to change them by any means possible. So we have to be, you know, real with ourselves. May God grant us to journey and navigate through this life in peace, and let us all see the day in which He will come again, and we can meet Him with the spirit of eagerness and joy, not in fear of Him. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.